to recap or bring us up to speed in Exodus 21. In Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments were given, explained somewhat. And then we get into chapter 21, and we have basically the start of civil laws that are spoken from God to Moses, Moses to the people, civil laws and various ordinances to the maintenance of the Jewish social life. So you had the Levitical, the civil, and the moral law. So these included all within the Jewish order and maintenance for the way of life. There were certain things that were in one law that make sense. You know, health, for health reasons, makes sense. Circumcision, that type of thing. But we're going to particularly note the first six verses in Exodus 21, and this is the order of the servant or the slave. This is what this has to do. He says in chapter 21 in Exodus in verse 1, "Now these are the judgments, the ordinances, the commandments, which thou shalt set before the people. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing." That is, the history behind this is if they didn't have a welfare system, if you got behind on your payments and you owed somebody money and you couldn't pay, you could serve him and work off your debt. And after the seventh year, you could go free. And that's where the year of Jubilee comes in. Not this seventh year, but the year of Jubilee, where the 49th or 50th year, I think it was, where the trumpets blew. And if you owed anything, it didn't matter. You got set free. But this is specifically concerning the Hebrew servant. So he was to serve for 6 years. And in the seventh year, he shall go out free for nothing. No, you don't have any strings attached. So let him go. Nothing to hold him, nothing over him. He's not under any bondage. If he came in by himself, the servant, he shall go out by himself. If the servant were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master, the servant's master, have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, "I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, I will not go out free." He's waiving his rights to continue to be with his master. Then, and we're familiar with this ritual, then this ordinance, then his master, the servant's master, shall bring the servant unto the judges. So according to this law, he shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve his master forever. A little different than a piercing by today's standards, but that's what that word means. Bore, it means to pierce. To pierce. So as looking at this, we're not really going to observe the Jewish ordinance, the civil law, the civil ordinances or judgments. But as usual, we're going to behold our blessed in type, the perfect servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is here. Thusly, we also expose that one and only gospel of the grace of God towards sinners. We see that in this. First thing, let's look at the servant. "Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them, if you buy a Hebrew servant." Turn with me to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Now we're going to talk about not just any servant, but the perfect servant. Isaiah 42 and verse 1 is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, says God. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgments to the Gentiles. This is talking about Christ, the servant. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 and verse 10 and 11, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Who? He hath put him to grief. Who? When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Who is he speaking of? Verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The righteous servant. Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah. Right after Zephaniah. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. My servant, the branch. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we're establishing the Lord Jesus Christ is more than this Hebrew servant. He is the perfect servant. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is God's perfect servant. For he says in another place, in Hebrews chapter 10, he said he came to do the Father's will, which is what servants do. They do his Father's, do their Father's will. He stated in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, he said, he told the people, wished you not that I must be about my Father's business? So even at a young age, he assumed the servant, our likeness, flesh and blood. And again, in John chapter 6, verse 38, he said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now we desire as servants of our great God, of the great God, to do his will and to please him always. But we don't do that. But we're not perfect. We are in the eyes of God, but in ourselves, no, sin remains. But this one is the only perfect servant. He pleased, it says in another place in Luke, he pleased not himself. And he said, matter of fact, he says, I am among you as one that serveth. I am among you as one that serveth. This Hebrew servant of servants, what a holy stoop this was. And one that was purely voluntary. I know I bring this up, but it just amazes me. The things that he underwent freely. No man takes his life. He gives his life, a ransom for many. They didn't take his life. Now, it looked like men by wicked hands slew and crucified him. They only did what they wanted to do, which is what we wanted to do if we would have been there. But truly, he was delivered up to Caiaphas. Voluntary obedience, voluntary suffering, voluntary trial, voluntary hardships. He had nowhere to lay his head. Voluntary death. He laid down his life that he may take it up again. We on this side of glory will never be able to adequately explain such grace and such mercy at the hands of a thrice holy God. We gather together and we speak of him, but oh, how our speaking of him, how our knowledge of him is so imperfect. But that's okay. He's the perfect servant. Go back to our text in Exodus chapter 21. And if you buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out for nothing. This is the law of, this is the judgment of God. This is the civil law, the social law of the Jews. This had to be honored. He couldn't serve 5 years and then let go. He served 6 years. Christ Jesus, our Lord, he honored God's law completely. 6 years, it says here. Christ, every jot and tittle that was against him and that he was to ordain to fulfill, he completely fulfilled it. This was not just something that you could do. This was demanded by the law. And so Christ came to fulfill every jot and tittle of the law of his Father, which was against us. We could not keep it. We broke these laws the moment we took our first breath. The moment we came from the womb, we broke these laws. The law, says the scriptures, is just, holy, and good. And we are unjust, vile, and always wrong. The Lord of glory, by this picture here as a servant, satisfied every aspect of God's law. Because he says, after the seventh year, he'll go out free for nothing. God's law has no claim, just like this. God's law has no claims on our beloved, perfect servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. He can go out, even in the law, it points to the gospel so clearly. Go out free. You go out free. Satisfied every aspect, every one of them, whether it was moral, civil, or Levitical. Note in this text, he shall go out free for nothing. Now, when I saw this, I just said, he satisfied the law. He satisfied God's requirement. Why did he, I'm going to use this word because we'll understand, why did he double back and die on the cross? So why did he not just walk away? God's law was satisfied. He shall go out free for nothing. God's claims, he didn't have any claims on him. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Father's law was honored, and it was exalted as well. Oh, my sinful friends, all was not yet accomplished. Legally, it was completely accomplished, but not all was accomplished for our redemption. Look at verse 5. If the servant say, and he did, this is what our Lord said, he shall plainly say, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, I will not go out free. The impact of this text, these words, just overwhelms me. He shall plainly say, O wonder of wonders, the full scheme of salvation must be attended to. This is the most blessed entry in our text. He says, the servant shall plainly say. Now that word plainly means a promise declared. And isn't that what Christ did? The promise that the Father gave to us for eternal life, the Son said, I will fulfill this, I will declare this promise. It also means a command by word or action. And who he was, he satisfied not only the law, but his declaration of love to his Father, his wife, the church, and his children, every one of his elect. He said, I have a baptism where I have to be baptized. I'm constrained. The love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ constrained himself. Freely, without a cause, says Romans, in us, but he did it all for us. He says, I love my master. What is, I love my master? John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In verse 31, Christ says here, after I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father. This is the Son speaking. This is Christ speaking. This is the Hebrew of Hebrew servants. This is the perfect servant speaking. I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. I must do. Satisfy all righteousness, and beyond that, the law has no claims on the believer. His love has constraints on us. And I'm so thankful. Only a perfect servant can utter such a thing as this in our text. I love my master. The Son, Christ the Son, loves his Father. Secondly, he says, I love my wife. Songs of Solomon. Songs of Solomon. This is the Lord speaking about his church. Songs of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 10. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. The spouse is the church. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. I love my master. I love my wife. He loves the church. And lastly, he laid down his life for the church, the scripture says, and he says, I love my children. Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. I love my children. I and the children whom the Lord hath given me. What a wonder. When the people of this world look at you, everybody, and everybody's in their own eyes, they justify themselves. Everybody's better than us. And they say that or whatever, and that's fine. Because we know we don't deserve redemption. We know we don't deserve salvation. But only because the Son said, I love my master, I love my wife, and I love my children. For them, for his glory, for his beloved, I will not go free, is what he says back in our text. I will not go free. Take me, as he says, and therefore set my people free. Unlock the prison doors. Cut the chains. Because as Job says, a ransom was found. A ransom was found. And I got a little star here. This must be said. This must be said in the light of the lies and false messages all around us. He didn't say, I love everybody. Didn't do it. He said, very specifically, I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. Christ laid down his life for the church, for the sheep, his elect, his chosen seed, his people. And we can look at Isaiah 53, see that, Ephesians 1, but you know that. You know this. But then let's look at verse 6. Then in the good predestinating providence of God, according to his just character and strict code of the law, this is what we had to do. This, if you love your master, if you love your wife, if you love your children, this is what he must do. And his master shall bring him, the servant, to the judges, to the door, the doorpost, and his master, the Father, who's it says that bruised the Lord of glory? The Lord bruised him. The Father bruised his Son. Yeah, he was murdered by wicked hands, but it pleased the Father to bruise him, to bore him, to pierce him is the word. And bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Forever. Here in our text, he must have his ear bore through with an awl. Now, this word, turn with me to Psalm 40. I couldn't believe that this actually was stated this way. I'd read over this and never seen this one word. Psalms chapter 40 and verse 6 through 8. We know who this is speaking about because you could go to Hebrews 10 and find out this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews says this is Christ speaking. Sacrifice, he says, and offering thou didst not desire, my ears hast thou opened. That word opened in the margin is digged, or in the Hebrew is the same word that we're looking at in Exodus. Okay? It's just, it's a variation, but it's the same word. Mine ears hast thou opened, or digged, or pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings thou hast not required. Then I said, who said? This perfect servant. Lo, I come, in the volume of the book is written of me. I delight to do thy will. I delight to serve you, Father. I delight to honor the law. And my delights are with you and my bride and my children. Oh, my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. This is speaking of Christ. That's not all. Turn to Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. I've never seen this before. Isaiah 50, verse 5. This is Christ speaking. The Lord hath opened mine ears, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away my back. He said, I gave my back to the smiters, the cheek to them that pluck off the hair. I hid my face from shame and spitting. These verses are messianic. We know that. But he says, the Lord God hath opened mine ears. That word opened is the same. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It all means to open or to dig or to bore or to pierce. If we doubt the almighty love which arrested us in time, may we just look back at Thomas and see his folly, and his folly is our folly. He says, I'm not going to believe that was Christ until I can stick my fingers. Well, back to our text. If we want to see, we want to look at the Lord's feet and his hands, but look at his ears. They're pierced for us as well. Look at that mark of the free and sovereign grace of God in Christ in his ear. Bore clean through. For us, undeserving wretches that we are. Now the last thought is a promise. The last thought is it's almost the tie. It's almost the tying the shoe, finishing it up. Everything's in order. It's clean. It's just these six verses, this last part in verse 6, verse 6c, if you want to call it that. And he, the servant, the perfect servant, the perfect Hebrew servant, the Lord our God, and the Lord Christ, shall serve his Father forever. What he did on Calvary's tree is forever. The law has no claims. Now, we're going to have to give an account. But I like to think when we get ready to open our mouths, say, no, the Christ will step in front and speak for us. That's how I visualize it. The law's got nothing on us. Because the servant voluntarily cried out, I love the children. It's that way. Shall the elect ever be held chargeable for the crimes against God and humanity? No. Does Christ ever stop honoring, serving, glorifying his Father on our behalf? No. He shall serve him forever. He, the servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall serve who? Him, his master, the Father. And if you want to bring the Holy Spirit, makes these things real to us, that's the threefold cord that's spoken of, I believe, in Ecclesiastes. It can't be broken. It's not easily broken, but this one's not broken. Thank God it is so. Salvation is forever. It's complete and absolute to all his seed. If the servant plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will voluntarily suffer everything on their behalf, that they will be with me forever. Matt, would you close us?